Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. She is joined by producer Mike Clark. This dynamic, sometimes crazy, sometimes funny, and always entertaining duo will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to Raw Talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Welcome back. I have to tell you something. People think this is really strange, but I'm a country girl who vacations in the city.
Yeah, you love to go to the city. You're always in the city.
Yeah, well, you think about it. I grew up in Iowa my whole life, and then I would come to Boston to visit my sister, and I just saw it as this place of opportunity. And then I move out here and I buy a house that's literally on top of a big hill in the middle of an apple orchard.
It's a beautiful
with
location.
With sweeping views. I mean, it's 3 acres of mowed grass. Like, it's the most country place to live, and it's in the middle of nowhere. So I live in nature. I live in the country. So when I get a chance to vacation, I usually take the train to New York City, which is what I did this weekend. And ironically, Emily was also in New York this weekend.
And yeah. I wasn't.
I guess your backyard probably isn't the best place to wear your Versace, huh?
No. Yeah, the Prada's kind of like sink into the grass. No, when I go to New York City, I don't get all fancied up. I wear sensible, hip, cool shoes.
Lots
and I
of
do
walking.
A ton
That's
of walking.
That's quite practical of you, Dr. Jenny.
Right, exactly. But Emily, you went to New York, but not for the city.
That's right. I actually had... I live in a, similar to you, a rural environment, and we went somewhere even more rural on our vacation, so there was no internet, you couldn't get a phone signal, no TV.
I would be terrified.
And all you hear at night is the night noises, the crickets, the coyotes.
Is that your thing? Like, do you like to live in the country and the vacation in the countryer?
Yeah, it was really relaxing.
So,
is this
the theme of our show? What we did on a summer vacation, sir?
Oh yeah,
kind of.
Did you bring a pictorial representation of yours, Mike?
Yes, I did. We'll look at it after.
That's a nice drawing.
Guys are crazy. We're actually going to talk about our relationship with nature and using nature as a way to reduce our stress and stay healthy, because there's actually a whole science behind this. Like, it's crazy. Like, the University of Minnesota has this whole program called Taking Charge of Your Health and Well-Being, and they literally gathered all this research on the benefits of being in nature. So, like, you know, like a non-built world. So water, air, earth, vegetation, animals.
Not just cement.
Right. Yeah. Non-built, meaning this is just the way it was.
Well, it's got to be more healthy to live in the country as opposed to the city, just because of the air and stuff, right?
Well, and this, speaking of air, so I'm in New York City, and, you know, I love it. I walk around, you can, you know, there's the smells of the city, and there's the noise
the
of
energy.
The city, and there's the energy of the city, and it's a very built area. You know, you can go into a few parks, and you can lie in the grass, of course, and there's trees, but...
The fake grass.
The fake grass.
AstroTurf.
Where there are no ticks, by the way, which I like, or bugs. I'm sure there's rats in the sewers, but not in the grass. But what happens is you get back to the hotel room and I take a shower. So, like, I literally wash my whole body in the shower. And then I get out and I use, like, just some toner on my face, and the cotton swab is completely dirt.
Ew.
I'm like, wait, I just washed my face. Is there more grime on my body from being in the city?
Yeah, and it's a city grime.
It's crazy.
We didn't even have showers for the first day. I just showered in the pond. Lake.
It was really? Lake. Well, that's really getting back to nature.
Yeah.
So there's this concept of depression that's a growing prevalence caused by what scientists call nature deprivation. You know, and basically they say it's largely because we just spend too much time indoors, particularly in front of televisions and computers.
Sounds suffocating.
It does.
Well, and you know, science has been showing us what we would already intuitively know, is that nature relaxes us and it refreshes us, and it's actually deeply healing. And I want to know, Emily, like, did you feel that this weekend? Did you come back from your trip and feel more rested? Did you feel better?
Yeah, I definitely did. We had a chance to take some horses out into the woods, and just being out there with just the horses and the woods, it was so relaxing, and it actually made me feel more confident as a person. interestingly enough.
Yeah, that's actually from the research I've been reading, that it talks about just when we're more connected to nature, we actually feel better about ourselves. And in fact, this is what spawned on this whole idea of this podcast, was I was reading a quote by Albert Einstein. So just listen to this quote.
He's so smart.
He is. If you're not driving, just close your eyes for a moment and just try to take this in. Okay, so this is what Albert Einstein said. A human being is part of the whole called the universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts, and feelings as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in all its beauty. Nobody is able to achieve this completely, but the striving for such achievement is in itself part of the liberation and foundation for inner security.
Wow, I love that.
That's like what you just said.
It doesn't make me any less scared of bees, but I still love that.
Seriously.
Oh, you were scared? Are you afraid of bees?
That's my one thing about nature. As long as the bees don't bother me.
Yeah, I mean, the insects, it's their planet. We're just sharing it with them.
No.
There's a lot more of them.
Yeah, and I heard something about we need bees. I don't know, maybe.
I don't know.
They might be helpful.
When I was mowing my grass the other day, I ran over a bee's nest, though. I got
you
stung.
Did?
Yeah, I got stung on my foot probably 20 times. It looked like a balloon.
Oh my gosh, I haven't even been stung 20 times in my life,
yeah,
and I'm scared of them.
It was not fun.
So obviously you didn't have a reaction.
No, just, you know, my ankle swelled up a little bit, but I didn't
die.
I didn't die or anything, Jenny.
That's
good. It happens every day to me.
Well, this whole idea that environment can either increase or reduce our stress, you know, is big. And we know that because, you know, just having like the ability to sit near a window and look outside versus sitting near a window where we just see, say, a cement wall. There's been really cool research done in hospitals where they take people in a hospital that have access to a view with trees and plants versus people who just have either no window or access to just like a cement wall. And they actually, people who have access to nature, just even if they're looking at it through a window, ask for less pain medication and overall have a happier mood.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Same idea with having a plant in the room versus not having plants in your room.
It's like when someone brings flowers home for you. They make you feel so good when they're just bright and sunny there on the table.
And what do? You go over and you smell them. You take a deep breath. It automatically, because it literally can impact your blood pressure, your heart rate, muscle tension, even how your body produces stress hormones. It makes a difference. So sometimes, even if you can't be in nature, if you can look at it through a window, if you can have sunlight, there's been studies that show that just having the bright sunlight on you through a window, say at an office or if you're in a hospital, makes a difference in your mood. You can even use aromatherapy like peppermint oil or lavender oil to induce feelings of happiness or calm.
I was reading this thing. I guess it's some chemical that's in the woods. Even if you just walk through the woods, it's called phytocytes or something like that, and they're healthy for you.
Just walking through in the middle of the woods. Yeah. Just breathing it in. So let's take a break. But when we come back, I'm going to dig a little more into the research of this and then just some practical ideas of how in our crazy, busy, stressed out world, we can have some of the benefits of nature.
You're listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. If you're in the Southern New Hampshire area, you can schedule a health consultation and examination with Dr. Jenny. To schedule, call 673-5600. That's 673-5600. For more information about Spinal Corrective Center, go to www.spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 673-5600. To find a chiropractor in your area, go to www.chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now back to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it.
So you might have a child in your life who seems a little hyperactive. So you throw them in front of like an iPad and like, boom, they zone out. They're just totally able to focus.
Fruit Ninja. It's the best game.
I play that.
I love that game.
Kitty Sprint. I like Kitty Sprint. But here's the thing. Mind Magazine, for example, 95% of those interviewed said their mood improved after spending time outside. They went from depressed and stressed and anxious to more calm and balance. And there was research that showed that nature improved our ability to pay attention.
Really?
Yeah. So listen to this.
So it calms your brain?
Yeah. It's because we find nature inherently interesting. Meaning you can sit there and all of a sudden, oh, there's a squirrel and look at the leaves. And if we take the time to slow down, nature is inherently interesting because it's a whole, it's an ecosystem, it's something to watch. And we naturally, our brains know how to focus on what we are experiencing in nature. We don't have to light up these parts of our brain that are trying to figure out what's happening on the screen. Like when I sit and my kids are like, let's play Mario Brothers. And I'm like, okay. And they get out like Mario Kart.
Right.
I'll sit with the controller on the couch and literally it's like my brain hurts trying to follow it. It's like not the primitive part of your brain. It's this part that's like the things are moving so fast and they're signs. And what do I do? And I have this lag time. And, you know, I have this old brain that can't quite do what these kids are inherently learning to do at a young age. But our primitive brain understands how to focus in nature. So this is where it gets really interesting. This woman, Andrea Taylor, did this research on children with ADHD or hyperactivity attention disorder, and it showed that if they spent more time in nature, it actually increased their attention span outside of nature. They were more able to focus in school. Isn't that
so
cool?
So take your kids in a forced march through the woods.
A forced march through the woods. Yeah. Well, you know, that's what happened. So my kids' school, they go to a Waldorf school, and parents are encouraged to park in the side of the road, like when you first get onto the campus, because there's a path through the woods. So they encourage, especially when the children are young, that you park as soon as you get to the campus and you walk through the woods. There's a path just for this that's maybe a quarter mile walk through the woods to have the children kind of transition from being with you to being at school.
Yeah,
and it's brilliant.
Chill.
Yeah, when you think of it that
it's
way.
It's almost a better education than going to school.
Absolutely.
Lord knows I should have done that with my life.
Spend some time in nature. But, and then this goes back to what I was talking about with Albert Einstein, the amazing quote. There's this whole series of field studies that was conducted by this group, Quia and Coily, at the Human Environment Research Lab. And they talk about how time spent in nature connects us to each other and the larger world, which is exactly what Albert Einstein was saying.
That makes sense. When Tuesdays after work and after running all of my errands, I always go to the farm near my house to help out. And not that I'm in a bad mood when I go there, but my mood improves exponentially. And my friend, who is the farmer that I work with, we have the best time just talking about the plants and the fruits and the vegetables and the sun and the birds and, you know, really.
Yeah, because you're away from all that work stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There was a study at the University of Illinois that talked about how Chicago public housing, the residents who had trees and green space around their building, they reported knowing more people, having stronger feelings of unity with their neighbors, and being more concerned with helping and supporting each other.
Do you think they took an online survey?
Yeah, seriously. I'm not sure how they did this, but obviously it was a study that was done compared to tenants who had buildings without trees. So there's this greater sense of community. There was a reduced risk of street crime, lower levels of violence and aggression between domestic partners, and this better capacity to cope with just demands of life, less stresses about living in poverty.
So if you ever start to argue with your wife,
say, buy a plant, just
buy a plant.
Go get her a tree.
here's a tree.
Well, and this is where they backed it up. So when you did, it's called an fMRI to measure brain activity. Participants who would view nature scenes, and this is even just pictures of nature scenes, the parts of your brain associated with empathy and love light up. And then when they viewed urban scenes, the parts of the brain associated with fear and anxiety were activated. So it appears that though nature inspires these feelings that connect us to each other in the environment, that's it.
Totally understand that.
Rush hour really ticks me off.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about New York, I love New York. It's, you know, but there's just so many people around. It gets you tense, no doubt about it. Could you ever live in the city?
I think I could, actually.
I think I could, too. Emily couldn't.
Never.
She's a
I went into
girl.
Whole Foods yesterday, and there were too many people.
But oddly, when I go to a city, though, I think part of what I love is finding the calm oasis inside the city. So, for example, there was a coffee shop a few blocks from the hotel, and it's called Cafe Grumpy. It's a really cool coffee shop.
Sounds like my kind of place.
Well, and you go there, and it's the middle of a residential area. And the sign, I walked right by it the first time. The sign is just this picture of a face. It's their Cafe Grumpy logo. There's no words. And so unless you know it's there, you are not going to find it.
Right.
So you go in. There's no tourists. It's all locals. And if you walk all the way through the back part of the coffee shop, there's an outdoor area. So it's cement walls, but they had ivy growing all up the walls. They had moss on the ground and they had tables. And there was just a few people that were reading books. And in the mornings, I would go there and get coffee and just sit in this oasis. And there's something for me about being in nature with these sounds of the city in the background, the muffled low rumble of the subway. It really is. I love it. But I have to say, when I think about the city, I love mostly the areas of nature that I enjoy in the city with the accessibility of everything I want around me.
I'm not sure I could live in New York. Boston's probably about the biggest city I could deal with.
I lived in Raleigh, and that was a really nice city. Yeah, lots of outdoors and lots of pockets of people like you're talking about where it's just locals.
Yeah.
Which maybe they put more emphasis on plants in small, beautifully inspired places because it's not as plentiful. And so maybe there is more of an attention on that. Because then I come home and I look out my window and I think, oh my, I have acres of beautiful greenery that I felt like I appreciated less than when I was in the city with these little ivy-filled concrete walls.
Well, I guess that's why some people commute 3 hours a day so they don't have to live in the city, you know?
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah. Some people are willing to put in that time just to be able to live in nature. You know?
But even this morning, preparing for this podcast, I'm sitting on my couch and I'm looking over my notes and I'm thinking to myself, my back is to the beautiful view outside my window. So I turned and sat sideways in the couch and I would kind of glance up and I just spent some time just gazing out at the
view. Clears your brain.
And it was amazing how I tried to notice how I felt and immediately everything slowed down a bit and I felt better.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even take much. You know, just look out the window that you have in your office or maybe, you know, have your morning breakfast. If it can't be near a window, maybe even outside. Or at lunchtime, just go for a walk. Get some fresh air. I think that's huge. It's a great way to enjoy the benefits of nature. How many hours a day do you think the average American spends watching television?
A day?
I'd say 6 hours.
Yeah, 5 to 6 hours.
The Bureau of Labor figured this out in June of 2012, and back then it was 2.8 hours a day watching television.
Okay.
But they agree that was probably a conservative estimate. I think the thing is, there's some people that really don't at all. You know, I don't even have a television. I have a television, but it's not hooked up to cable or anything like that. But there's other people that literally it's on all day.
Well, that's why I said that, you know, because a lot of time it's just background noise going. People,
yeah,
you know,
they get home from work and they just turn it right on, and then they don't turn it off again until midnight.
Right.
I mean, people fall asleep to their TVs in their bedrooms.
And then, of course, if you play games on your computer or if you use computers for leisure, so really, computer's the new TV, Facebook's the new comedy at night. We sit and just sit in front of the TV, which, again, I don't really sit in front of my computer, but I might lie in bed with my iPhone looking through Facebook. And before you know it, I'm like, how did 45 minutes go by?
Which
really is no different than watching a sitcom at night.
It's a little more interactive, I would say, but television is.
That's true. Yeah. But there's still risks associated with any kind of screen time, whether it's interactive or not. And, you know, it's some insomnia, depression, isolation. It changes your ability to completely feel relaxed.
Insomnia is a big one. If people are having trouble sleeping at night, you ask them, do you fall asleep to a TV or do you watch TV an hour before you go to bed? Answer is like 80% yes.
Mm-hmm. That seems to be a big trend. Everyone I speak to now has insomnia. Is that just hip to have insomnia?
Yeah, it's the orange is the new black, 40 is the new 20.
Okay. Do you have insomnia?
No, I have. No. I have occasionally a very active mind at night.
Occasionally? I think all the time.
No. Well, so I just count to 10, and by the time me fall asleep.
Counting sheep.
Counting and picturing
the color black. How about you, Jenny? Black. Do you have insomnia?
Oh, no. I'm asleep within seconds of lying down. Wow. But I do have to say, though, that if I read a book before trying to go to sleep, I will fall asleep immediately. If I'm on my phone looking at Facebook, it'll take me a while.
Ditto. Yeah.
So yeah. That's
the light, I think. It stimulates your brain.
I found in my life that, say, an hour before bed, it's natural to want to say check out, meaning watch television, go on the computer.
Right.
And that would be, for my family, we found that was this easy default. And 2.5 weeks ago, we decided to unplug Wi-Fi, which for us also meant Apple TV. So no television, no computers.
Wow.
For the last couple weeks of summer. And what I was finding was that in the evenings, because I have a 10 and 13-year-old, we would find ourselves sitting in the living room, windows open, or sometimes on the screen porch, sometimes outside, and we would just be talking.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine that? You just sit around and talk.
I don't even know how to do that.
You know, we'd make like popcorn or something like you do if you're going to watch a movie, but we would sit around and talk. And sometimes my son would bring over a chessboard.
Right.
And
games, but it was amazing
how if I would have said, no TV tonight, let's just sit around and talk, they would have been like, what? But after that was no longer an option, the television, I found that that's just naturally what we did. We gathered in the gathering areas and we talked. And I was noticing that I was going to sleep much faster.
Yep.
Actually, interestingly enough, when we were in New York this weekend, after dinners, we would just sit at the table for probably 2 hours, which at that point it was like midnight because we ate at 10. And we would just talk. And then, of course, you know, I was practically falling asleep at the table.
That's because you were out in nature all day.
Yeah.
Actually, probably one of the best I ever felt in my life was there was a family vacation to Tulum, Mexico, and we stayed at a place called Eco Tulum. It's an eco resort. No plastic, no electricity in the resort. So you did have access to light in your cabin.
How'd you dry your hair, though?
Oh, it was all air dry in that humid weather. You should have seen how curly it was.
But how'd you straighten it?
No straightening.
She went El Natural.
How'd you charge your phone?
No phones.
Calm down over there.
Sorry, I'm having ADD.
But yeah, I think we had the lights would work in the cabin from like 11 to 4. Like there was some, but then after that, there was no electricity. And so what happened was the sun would go down and you could light candles, but you still, like, you would be tired. So basically, once the sun went down, we might as well just go to bed because there's nothing else to do. And then when the sun came up, it naturally just woke us up. So after a week of literally sleeping with the cycles of the sun.
You get on nature's schedule.
We were on nature's schedule and we all felt so good. It was amazing.
That's fascinating, yeah.
I know.
And no one does that now.
No, because we have light.
All the time.
And we have screens all the time.
And work.
And work, yeah.
Well, and even there were some studies that showed that in schools and offices and hospitals, letting in more natural light actually increases job satisfaction, enhances performance, reduces depression, enhances recovery. There was one interesting study that compared the use of pain medications in patients who were on the bright and then on the dim side of the hospital. And those that were on the brighter side perceived less stress and less pain and actually took fewer pain medications.
That's my only issue with living in New England. During the winter months, I'm in the great indoors all day. You know what I mean? I'm never outside. And I think that really affects me.
You could put a skylight in here.
I could, but still, you know, it's...
And there was actually a couple studies that shown if you don't have a view of nature from your home or you can't let light in, you still benefit health-wise from a landscape painting or photo.
Really?
Yes. Even
I
if you
can paint
look.
You one, Mike, if you want.
Could you do that?
Yeah, no problem. Well,
put it right here in the studio.
They call me Monet. That's my other.
Monet Malay. That's her last name. But then interestingly, they said you might want to consider an open landscape, like a view of the ocean, rather than a forest. And they figured that when they did the research, they hypothesized that it's inherently uncomfortable to look at a view of a forest. Because like our brains associate it with there could be predators hiding.
Right.
Coyotes. Versus like an open view.
I'll take the beach
view.
Any day. I prefer it. Not just because of the
Haven't
bikinis.
Haven't you guys heard of sharks?
Seriously. But you know, growing up, and it's still there, my parents have this beautiful big picture of an ocean scene in their bedroom. And I always thought it was so calming to sit on my mom's
serene.
Bed and look at this ocean scene. Yeah. And there is something to it.
On our windowsill, we have like... We have a big, big windowsill in our bedroom, and so it has tons of plants all along it, and then all sorts of pictures that we've taken of nature all around the room. I love waking up
it
in there.
It just feels good in there. And then beyond nature, we actually have health benefits, as you can imagine, with having animals in our lives.
Tell me about it.
Well, this is my cue to leave.
And
you
don't have any
animals?
They're
so dirty.
And they smell.
Yeah.
Well, and obviously some benefits of pet ownership is, you know, lower blood pressure, less depression, less anxiety, and for a lot of people, a built-in exercise program.
Absolutely.
If you have to get the dog out.
They do make a nice treadmill.
They do. I love to see, like, elderly people with a dog because they have to go outside and walk the dog, you know, so it gets you out of the house.
They have someone to talk to.
Well, and you know, there's, with animals, we feel a natural tenderness. And so that's an emotion, it's a reaction that's harnessed that only gives us good chemicals inside of our body. So
unless you're Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't give you any type of feelings of tenderness. Oh,
I don't
Emily.
Know how many people would get that reference, Emily, but
they should
throw it out there.
Only
for
if
you,
they listen
Mike.
To heavy metal.
So, in conclusion, open those windows, let the light in, hug a tree, get the fresh air, go for a walk, get a dog.
Yeah.
Or at least a fish.
And you remember, you can take yourself out of nature, but you can't take nature out of yourself.
As always, we appreciate having Emily here on the
podcast. Always. Yeah, I think.
Okay, so next time maybe I'll go with you to the Catskills. How's that sound?
I want to go too.
Okay, all right, you can both come along.
Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it. Your host was Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. If you live in the Southern New Hampshire area, schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jenny at 673-5600. That's 673-5600. For more information about Spinal Corrective Center, call 673-5600 or check out www.spinalcorrectivecenter.com. You can also find Dr. Jenny on Facebook at Spinal Corrective Center. Thank you for listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it.